How can I follow Jesus and know that I'm in the center of God's will? Well, that's a pretty important thing to do, right? That's what all of us should want for our lives. We would want to follow God and know that we're right in the center of where God wants us to be in His will. Amen? Is that where you want to be today? That's where I want to be. I want to be right in the middle of where God wants me to be. And no matter what the circumstances are, I want to be rest assured that I'm in the center of God's will. No matter what storm's coming, no matter how I'm being blessed, I want to do God's will in my life.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark delivered a passionate sermon titled, Walk Simply with God, and he preached from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. We trust you will be blessed by Brother Mark's message, and we hope you will join us again next week as he delivers another great sermon. And now, Brother Mark.
We're going to turn in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea as I was thinking about that, and as you're turning to page 465 in your Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. I was thinking about them streets of gold, and I remember a story about a guy who had died and went to heaven. He was very wealthy, and when he got to heaven, he had this bag with him. And St. Peter was at the gate and said, "What's in the bag?" And he said, "Oh," he says, "it's nothing." And St. Peter says, "Well, nothing comes into heaven but what I don't get to look at, so I need to see what's in your bag." And he said, "Oh, it's just a bag of stuff I brought with me." He goes, "Well, you can't bring it in unless I can see in it." So he finally lets St. Peter look in the bag, and St. Peter looks in the bag, and he looks at the guy. He looks in the bag, and he looks at the guy, and he goes, "Is that gold?" And the guy says, "Yeah." And he goes, "Why would you bring asphalt into heaven?" that's what they paved the streets with up there. The streets of gold and the crystal sea. In Ecclesiastes, the title of this message is just walk simply with God. Just walk simply with God. So in Ecclesiastes, beginning in chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth." Verse 11, "And the words of the wise are like goads, and the words are scholars, and are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of the making of many books there is no end, and of much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Let us pray. Father God, I thank You for Your word, Lord. I thank You that it's always current. It's good for reproof and correction. It's good for teaching. It's our roadmap for life. I thank You that we can own a copy of Your word and we can read it. And Lord, we're not sequestered or anything for reading Your word. And Lord, we live in a country where we can find Your word for sale at garage sales. It's everywhere. Lord, the thing that bothers us the most is that we see Your word and it's not read. It's not put to use. It's not used in our country the way it used to be. Lord, we just want to say this morning that we love Your word. Your word is perfect. Your word is good for us. We need it in our lives. Lord, this morning, give me words to speak. Hide me behind the cross. Don't let me say anything that You don't want to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to encourage you in this new year of 2017 in your walk with the Lord to take advice from the wisest and wealthiest man who ever lived. We just read his words. Solomon was given the opportunity from God to ask for a special blessing, and God says, what is it that you would want in life? What is the most important thing that you see that I could give you that would help you through life? And Solomon thought about it, and Solomon said, I would like to have wisdom. And because God granted him his wish, and he became the wisest man that ever lived. Not only was he the wisest man that ever lived, but because he was very wise, he also became the wealthiest man that ever lived. And if you compared his wealth in his time to any wealth that of this day, he was by far the wealthiest person that ever lived in the world. Here in the final words of his life, the final time of his life, he gives us his final conclusions. You know, you would think that the wisest man in all the world would have this dissertation that was multiple pages long. It would be like a huge declaration with all this stuff in there that you would have to think about and digest and put in your mind and actually try to figure out what he was trying to say. But he does not do that at all. Here is what he does. Here's the final answer. You know, if he was on TV and they say, is that your final answer? Solomon would have said, final answer. Here's his final conclusion. He says this. He says, fear God and do what he tells you to do. Wow. I mean, here's the wisest man in the whole world. And he says, fear God and do what he tells you. I believe the number one question of all Christians today is, what is God's will for my life? What is God's will? If you was to ask Christians all over the country, if I could answer one question for you, and you could ask God, and God would answer you that question, what would it be? They would ask, God, I want to know what your will for my life is. I want to know what you want me to do. Well, there's no magical formula for finding God's will. You can't go through the Bible and take out every fifth word and come up with some magical conclusion in the Bible. There's no code in there. There's no arithmetic that you can do. There's nothing that you can do other than read God's word from cover to cover, because within God's word is everything you need to know about daily living. Everything you need to know is contained in God's word. There's no archangel that's going to come down and speak to you, probably. There's no burning bush, there was only one. There's no donkey that's going to talk to you. There's no pillar of fire that's going to tell you to follow me in this life, because there was only one of them. You're not going to get fed by some ravens. You're not going to wrestle with a man who is actually God and put your hip out of joint. It's just not going to happen that way. But know this, God is speaking. He is speaking today just like he has always spoke to man. In the days before Christ, God spoke through various means that we talked about, through donkeys and pillars of fire and burning bushes and rocks and different ways God spoke to his people. And during the days of his son, Jesus Christ, when Jesus was on earth, God spoke through his son. In these days, God speaks through various means, and he is still speaking today. He speaks to us through his word, his spirit, circumstances, prayer, and other believers. Today, just as Solomon stated, there have been countless books written on how to follow God. I just seen another one on the internet the other day from someone that is close to us, who has written a book on how to walk with God. There are books that's been written. You can take courses online. You can go to seminary and take courses in seminary on how to follow God. But you know what? It all boils down to this one thing that Solomon said. He said to fear God and do what he tells you to do. Simply stated, to the point. And it is what God wants from every one of us. There are seminars and retreats and courses and studies and books But it all boils down to fear God and do what he tells you. So you ask, how do I know what God wants me to do? Well, I'm glad you ask, because that helps me with the rest of my sermon. How can I follow Jesus and know that I'm in the center of God's will? Well, that's a pretty important thing to do, right? That's what all of us should want for our lives. We would want to follow God and know that we're right in the center of where God wants us to be in his will. Amen? Is that where you want to be today? That's where I want to be. I want to be right in the middle of where God wants me to be. And no matter what the circumstances are, I want to be rest assured that I'm in the center of God's will. No matter what storm's coming, no matter how I'm being blessed, I want to do God's will in my life. It is my prayer for you this morning that you too would like to be in that place. There's no better place for a Christian to be than in the center of God's will. Jesus said it this way. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. Jesus said it this way. He said it simply this way. He said, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all that you are, and you love your neighbor as yourself, and you can hang all the other laws on that. Simply stated, Solomon said it simply, you just fear God and do what he tells you to do. So what does it mean to fear God? I always thought that meant that we should respect God and we should reverence him. But it means more than that. In the Hebrew word, they use the word yar or yar, and that word means more than just respect. It means more than just reverence. It means more than just honor. It means awe. It means wide-eyed wonderment. Have you ever experienced wide-eyed wonderment? Have you ever seen something so wonderful that and so majestic that your eyes just popped out of your head? I remember standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon in wide-eyed wonderment as I looked at that big cavity. I remember standing at the edge of Niagara Falls in wide-eyed wonderment as I watched that water come over and fall all the way down there and that mist rise up from that place. I remember going down the tallest water slide in the world. And coming off of that, and I went over and seen my wife, and she said, what is wrong with you? And my eyes was so wide, they was just about to pop out of my head. I was in awe. It only lasted, the line was like 2 hours, and it only lasted like 5 seconds. And I ended up at the bottom of that slide doing 57 miles an hour with the greatest wedgie the world has ever seen. But boy, you talk about wide-eyed wonderment. Woo! I can remember standing in the delivery room as my children were born in wide-eyed wonderment at such an amazing miracle of God. I can remember sitting by the bedside of someone who was dying in wide-eyed wonderment, knowing that they was just about to enter glory as they stepped off this earth and into God's presence. I can remember with wide-eyed wonderment someone coming to me and saying, could you share with me about Jesus? And as I shared the story, they said, I would like to do that. I would like to make that profession of faith in my life. And their life was changed from a destination of hell and destruction and separation from God forever to a place of heaven and light eternally. In wide-eyed wonderment, I watched him say yes to Jesus. I remember when I left the church up at Chillicothe. It was on a Sunday night at a service, and after the service, they formed a line to come up and shake hands with me. And I can remember, just like my children, everyone that come up and shook my hand that I'd had the opportunity to share Christ with, and they said yes. In wide-eyed wonderment and tears rolling down my face, I can remember each face as they changed their life and give their life to Jesus. So what is your wide-eyed wonderment experience? Is it some huge, enormous mountain or a majestic lake? Or is it a beautiful constructed building or a fine piece of jewelry? Is it a star or a comet looking in a telescope or an underwater research sub scanning the depths of the ocean? How about some ancient city with the artifacts from some archaic people group? What is it that just gives you wide-eyed wonderment as you watch and see all of God's creation? But then when you think about that, you think about all the wide-eyed wonderment that you have seen and all the awe that you've been given, and don't it all point to God? Didn't He create everything that gives us this wide-eyed wonderment in our lives? Didn't He create everything that puts us in awe because of who He is? He is the great Creator. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He hurled every one of them stars into space, and He calls them by name. He is a great and wonderful God. This is some of what the Word of God says about the fear of the Lord in Proverbs 1:7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Psalms 111:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Job 23:13-16, and I paraphrase this, it says, the fear of the Lord acknowledges all of His plans for your life. In Psalms 2:1, it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. In Psalms 19:9, it says, fear the Lord. The Lord is pure, enduring forever. In Psalms 33:8, it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the earth revere Him. In Psalms 34:11, it says, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. And in Psalms 86:11, it says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Teach me your ways. Give me an undivided heart that I might be in awe of you. Are you in awe of God this morning? Are you approaching this place knowing that here in this place we're going to worship the Creator of all of the universe, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, and we're going to come into this place with awe and wide-eyed wonderment as we approach the throne of grace? The awe of God, wide-eyed wonderment, the majestic glory of our Lord and Savior. What produces awe in us? What produces this wide-eyed wonderment in us? The awe of God comes to us when the Creator of the universe gives us total, complete, unconditional pardoning and forgives all of our sins and changes our destination from death and hell to life, light, and love everlasting in heaven. Wide-eyed wonderment is instilled in our hearts because we have a relationship with the King of Kings, the one who spoke the stars into being, the one who created all things, and by Him all things were created. He saved us. He placed His Spirit within us. He called us His children. He adopted us into His family, whereby we cry out, Daddy, Abba, Father, and we say we are heirs with Him and joint heirs with Him in all that is His. Oh, if that don't give you wide-eyed wonderment, nothing will. If they don't put you in the awe of God as you approach the throne of grace and say, look at all that you've done for me, that's got to be grace, because there's nothing we could do that we deserve that. We are joint heirs with God and Christ in the kingdom. Because of what Jesus did, that puts me in awe and wonderment of Him. We should be making our way through this world with awestruck demeanor and wide-eyed wonderment, expressing in our faces what would cause folks to wonder, what's up with you, man? What's wrong with you? Why you act like that? You got a problem. You're always happy. You're always positive. What's up with you? Is that what people say to you? They say, well, every time I see you, you got this wide-eyed wonderment in your face. You got this smile on your face. You got something different. What is it with you? I'm not saying we should go around acting like a bunch of morons, freaking people out because we're so spiritual that they don't even connect with us. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that we should go around this world and God should be the first thing on our mind. I'm saying that if He came to you and saved you and placed His Spirit inside of you and you are His, then we should act like we belong to Him. I'm saying that everything that happens to you is within the scope of God's plan, and if God is first on your mind, you will look for the nugget that God has for you in every moment of life. It may be a bad moment, but God has a nugget. It may be a good moment, but God has a nugget. No matter what is coming your way, if you got God as first on your mind, if you are awestruck by God, if you are in wide-eyed wonderment of His work, and if you are thinking of God every moment, it don't matter what's coming to you, it's within God's plan. His direction and hand is in all things when He's first in our lives and on our minds. Once we receive the awe of God, this wide-eyed wonderment in our heart, then how do we keep it? How do we keep sharp and fresh? As I was listening this morning as we worshiped in song, I was wondering, what happened to us? What happened to us? Here we come into this place. We gather in the name of God, the creator of the universe, because we are His children. We cry out, Daddy, Abba, Father. We have come into this place. We've gathered in His name to worship Him. And we sing the way we sing. We go through the motions. But are we really awestruck with who God is? Are we really worshiping Him in spirit and truth? How do we keep fresh? How do we keep sharp? Well, we do that by doing what He tells us. Just as Solomon said, first we fear God and then we do what He tells us. The world and the prince of this world, Satan, has a way of dulling your awe. If you've lost your awe of God, it's because you've allowed the cares of this world to choke out God's awe in your life. You need the awe of God, and the awe of God is a heart thing. It's you have to stay in the story. You understand that? You have to stay in the story. That means you have to stay within God's plan. You have to walk with Him. If you're going to keep the awe of God, you have to stay with God. You have to stay in the story. You have to keep the main thing the main thing. You do this by continuing to tell the story of Jesus in your life to others, and that will help you stay wide-eyed and in awe. You tell the story to others. Tell me the story of Jesus right on my heart, every word. Tell me the story most precious, the sweetest that ever was heard. Tell me how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace and good tidings on earth, fasting alone in the desert. Tell of the days that are past, how for our sins He was tempted, yet He triumphed at last. Tell of the years of His labor. Tell of the sorrows He bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected and poor. Tell of that cross where they nailed Him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid Him. Tell how He liveth again. Amen. Love in the story so tender, clear that ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid that ransom for me. Tell how He's gone back up into heaven, up into the right hand of God. Tell how He's there interceding while on earth we must trod. Tell of the sweet Holy Spirit He has poured out from above. Tell how He's coming from glory for sinners and the saints of His love. It's all about God. Keep God as a focal point in all that you do. Don't let circumstances dull your awe. Don't let your relationship with others dull your awe. Don't let health dull your awe. Don't let your children or your family dull your awe. Don't let hurt habits or hang-ups dull your awe. Remember the awesome one, the one who paid it all. Remember what He did for you. Remember he placed this wide-eyed wonderment in your heart. And remember that He's still on the throne. He still has a plan. And God is still in control. Amen. Amen. Five things today. I know it's Baptist and it's more than three. But if you got a pen, just write them down. Five things today that'll help you keep your awe. Help you keep your awe in 2017. Five things. It's not rocket science. This is simple stuff. We can do this. Even though we're Baptists, we can do it. First of all, Scripture. Scripture. Read the Word. Read it. Take it, open it, and read it every day. Study it. Ruminate upon it. You know what ruminating is? That's regurgitating. Isn't that a nice word? That's take it in and burp it back up and chew on it some more. Chew in your cud. The cud of the word. So bring that, take that word and put it in your heart and bring it up to your mind and back in and back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And just keep remembering what God's word says. Tie it around your fingers, write it on your forehead. If you're going to get a tattoo, tattoo God's word across your forehead. That'd be excellent. And every time, write it backwards so when you look in the mirror, you can see it. Read it, recite it, repeat it, remember it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word always does a work. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the person who reads it will be dedicated to God and capable of every good work. You want to be that person? You want to be dedicated to God? You want to be capable of doing His will? You have to read His word. There's no way around it. You've got to read the manual if you're going to be able to follow the instructions. Secondly, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. When God saved you, He placed His Spirit inside you. His Spirit prompts you. His Spirit speaks to you. His Spirit convicts you. His Spirit interprets God's word to you. His Spirit encourages you. His Spirit is everything to you because it is God living inside of you. You have to listen to Him. How do you do that? Well, you listen to God by getting quiet before Him, spending time with Him. You have to get alone and you have to spend time with God if you're going to listen to Him. He's going to speak to you. He's going to teach you. He's going to lead you in the path of righteousness. Listen to the moment-by-moment promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now think about that for a minute. Every moment in your life, the Spirit wants to prompt you to do the right thing. When you see that person on the street, and you hear in your heart that the Spirit is prompting you to take action, then follow God. Take action. If the Spirit prompts you not to take action, then don't. Follow the Spirit of God as He leads you, because He is placed inside of you for a purpose. We all need Him. And he needs to live inside of us because we make decisions every day. And them decisions need to be God-led decisions. And that's why His Spirit's there. Thirdly, application. Application. Get engaged. Now, I don't mean go find someone and get engaged to them. No. Get engaged in God's work. See where God is at work and then move into the work where He's working and allow Him to use you to accomplish that work. There's no greater blessing in doing the Lord's work than when you are blessing others, because you know why? Because you'll receive a greater blessing than the one you're blessing. It always works that way. You might think, oh, I'm going to go here or there to this person, and I'm going to minister to them, and they're going to receive an awesome blessing, and you're going to come away from that place more blessed than they were. Every time. That's how God works in our lives. There's no greater blessing than doing the Lord's work and getting blessed from that. And when we go through a tough time, when the going gets tough, the tough should get going. And that should be a Christian motto. It's not time to back down. When the world gets tough, it's not time to give in, but it's time to give out grace. It's not time to throw in the towel, but it's time to take out the towel and do a little foot washing. It's not time to quit. It's time to quake. It's time to turn up the heat. It's time to dig in and serve the Lord even more. One of the most healing things you can do when you're going through a trial in life is to serve others. It will bless you. It will take the stress away from whatever circumstance you're in. You just get down on your hands and knees and you serve other people. You humble yourself and you serve them and you give to them out of your heart and because the Lord wants you to. And it will bless you. Fourthly, prayer. Seek God in prayer. God says, those who seek me shall find me. You want to find God? You want to hear God? Then you have to seek him. You have to talk to him. He wants to talk to you. He's waiting to talk to you. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks will find, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." If you truly want God and his will to be done in your life, you will find time to spend with him. There's no shortcut. You can't say this morning that I want God's will done in my life and then go away from this place and not spend any time with God. It won't work. You have to make a commitment that I'm going to spend time with God every day. If you truly want God's will in your life, you have to spend time with him. If you're hungry for God, be it known that he's waiting for you to seek him with your whole heart. Now is the time that God is looking for people who are willing to worship him in spirit and truth. He's looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few good women. He's looking for some youth out there that are willing to give their life to him and serve him in spirit and truth. If you don't hear God, it's not because he's not speaking. It's because you're not listening. You have to get alone with God and listen to him. He's wanting to talk to you, but you're not letting him because you're not getting alone with him. He's not in the thunder. He's not in the wind. He wasn't in the fire. He's in a still small voice in your closet. And he wants to hear from you. He's waiting. Time after time, he's waited before, and now he's waiting again. He wants to hear from you. Would you let him talk to you? Would you spend time with him? Fifthly, everyone. Everyone who believes. Listen to other Christians. God will speak through other Christians and tell you specific things that God wants you to do. And always check these words against the Word of God. Always check that against the Holy Spirit. Always check that, but check things out to make sure that it lines up with God's Word. Because if it don't line up with God's Word, it's not God. If it don't line up with the Spirit that's inside of you telling you the truth, then it's not God. You check it out. But God will speak through other Christians in your life. And he will use other Christians to help you find his will. That's why the church is so important. If you neglect the church, you're neglecting God's people. And God is using them people to help you find his will in your life. We all need each other. And we need each other so much so that if we don't have each other, we can't determine God's will for our life. We have to talk. We have to fellowship. We have to get together. Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together, the Lord says in his word. Five things. If you do them five things, I'll guarantee you that God will reveal his will for your life. You won't have to come and say, "I just can't figure it out." If you're spending time with God, if you're talking to other Christians, if you're praying and spending time, if you're in the Lord's work, if you're applying yourself to God's work, if you're following the Holy Spirit, if you're reading God's word, you're going to be in the center of God's will. You're going to be in that place, and your eyes are going to be wide. They're going to be popping out of your head because God is going to do marvelous things, miracles that only God can do, and you're going to be a witness to them. God's going to manifest himself in your life and the lives of those around you as you follow his will, and you're going to see God everywhere you go. You won't be able to help but God be on the first thing in your mind. It's all about him. It's all about him. And as his people, as his awestruck, wide-eyed wonderment people, we should do this. Think of all that he did for us. Think of the cross. Think of all that grace. Think of that great pardon that he gave us. Think of our heavenly home. Think of everything that Christ has done for us. And we should be willing to do this for him. In conclusion, as Victoria comes and Phyllis comes, the old TV, Looney Tunes,
used to say that's all, folks. And that's it. That's what Solomon said. He goes, it's this simple. He said, fear God and do what he tells you to do. Fear God and do what he tells you to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says this, for God did not destine us for wrath. God's not standing up there with the club just waiting for you to get out of line where he's going to whack you upside the head. That's not God. He did not destine us for wrath, but for gaining salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, he died for us so that whether we're asleep, I think we have all kinds here. Whether we're alert or asleep, I think he's talking about the living or the dead. Whether we're alert or asleep, we will come to life together in him. We'll all be there someday. We're all going to be at the table someday with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. Therefore, I love the therefore, and the therefore goes back to the wherefore, and the wherefore was because you're one of his, right? Whether you're dead this morning or alive, some of you ought to move a little bit so we don't mistake you for those that have passed on. So, therefore, he says, encourage one another, build each other up, just like you're doing. Church, encourage one another and build each other up, just like you're doing. Keep talking to one another. Keep encouraging one another in the faith. Keep listening for what God might say, because he may give you a word to give to someone else. And don't be afraid to give them that word. They can check it out. You just do what God tells you to do. This morning, you may be here and you've never made a confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you'd like to do that. You'd like to just say, Pastor Mark, I've never done that. I've never made Jesus Lord of my life. And this morning, I would just like to say that I believe Jesus is God's only Son. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, and I have sins. And I would like to repent of them sins and give them to Jesus. And he will take them from me, and then he'll take me to heaven someday. If you would like to do that this morning, you can come. And I will pray with you and show you how to pray and ask Jesus to do that, and he'll save you. And you'll be one of his. And you can be in the center of God's will for your life. Maybe as a Christian, you've wandered away from that center. You're not awestruck and wide-eyed in your wonderment of God anymore. The world has dulled your awe. But this morning, you can resharpen it. It took a long time to get dull, but it only takes one step to resharpen your awe. You just come up before this altar and you just give it all to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I just want to repent and I want to have that awe again. I want to walk with you. I want to be in the center of your will. I want to spend time with you. I want to read your word. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to fellowship with the other Christians in this church. Maybe you're not a member of this church, but this morning God is leading you to come and become a member of this church. And whatever the decision is, I pray that you'll come. Would you stand with me as we pray? And then Victoria's going to lead us in a song, page 309 in your hymnal. Let's pray now. Father God, I just pray that your will would be done. I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would come again to you with awe, not just respect and reverence, not just with honor, but Lord, we would come in your presence with awe, that you would give us that wide-eyed wonderment that we once had when we first come to know you, that Lord, we just could not express the joy in our heart. Lord, bring us back to the place where we're in the center of your will. All these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life. take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.